Blog Talk Radio.
That went as far west, explored what was called the Northwest Territory after Jefferson had bought Napoleon needed money for his wars in Europe, and he sold Louisiana and that territory, and President Jefferson decided we need to explore this, so he sent out William Clark and Meriwether Lewis, and they ended up at Astoria, which is very beautiful. If you ever get up to Oregon, that's the furthest western point where the landmass of the United States reaches the Pacific Ocean. And today is the birthday of Francis Scott Key, who wrote the Star Spangled Banner while he was prisoner or detained on a British ship while they were during the War of 1812, when the British were shelling Fort McHenry to try to conquer, to capture Baltimore in Maryland. And most people do not know the original source of that Star Spangled Banner and where they got the music. We have, out of the archives, we've obtained a copy, and we're going to play the original lyrics and the music. And it's from a British drinking song called Akron in Heaven.
Oh.
American national anthem. The music originated, was taken from a British drinking song called Akron in Heaven. And, of course, a lot of other national anthems, so like the German one was written by Joseph Haydn. And it's used also as the one of the themes for the British royal family. Of course, this current batch is actually Germanic, descending from Queen Victoria's consort, and even going back further, George I, the Hanoverian, who came over after the British got tired of Catholic kings. The Jameses and the Stuarts, Among the other birthdays today, famous author, 2 years before the Mass, it's also a movie, Richard Henry Dana wrote that, and that book aroused the American press and the Congress to legislate protections for seamen. The brutality of the captain, of course, the captain's word is law on a ship, and mutiny was subject to, at the very least, flogging or hanging. And Richard Dana, in his famous book, 2 years before the Mass, wrote about all these horrible things that were happening while he was on a ship. Another seafaring author, Herman Melville, who wrote Billy Budd, which is about the British Navy during the Napoleonic Wars, and a young sailor who was who had a speaking problem, who was brutalized by a guy named Claggart, and his famous movie starring Terrence Stamp, Peter Ustinov, and Claggart was played by Robert Ryan, great actor. Recommended to read the book and also see it. And he also Melville also wrote Moby Dick about the whale, and is also Gregory Peck played in the movie Captain Ahab. And also today, in 1889, Dr. John Mahoney was a guy who used, it was his birthday, and he discovered a way to use penicillin to treat syphilis. A great musician born today, William Steinberg, conductor of the Boston Symphony. Jerome Morris wrote quite a few soundtracks for the scores for movies. The Big Country was one of his best. Frankie and Johnny, famous song, is another one of his compositions. Arthur Hill, another Canadian who came from, I think, Saskatchewan. And he was probably best remembered. He played the doctor in A Bridge Too Far. Great movie about the mistake, the blunder that Field Marshal Montgomery, his campaign strategy to capture the five bridges across the Rhine, and they would go, the armies, British and American army would pour into Germany and end the war by 6 months. It turned out to be a disaster at Arnhem. Famous movie, A Bridge Too Far, you recommended you see that. A lot of cameo acts were in that film. Also today, the birthday of Don DeLuise Fatso, the gay fashion designer, Frenchman Yves Saint Laurent. Senator Pothole, the senior senator at one time from New York State, Alphonse D'Amato. A lot of corruption when he was around. Jerry Garcia, whom I used to see in the Haight-Ashbury, of the Grateful Dead, great musician. And probably the guy who went up into space, the astronaut, cosmonaut, more than anybody else, Yuri Romanosov, who went up on the Soyuz 26, 38, and I forgot the other one. Among the deaths today, Florence Eldridge, I believe she was the wife of Frederick Marc, who played in quite a few movies like 7 Days in May, quite a few films during the 30s. And a famous Roman Catholic cardinal, John Cardinal Dearden, who was Archbishop of Detroit. Among the events today, in 1291, after William the Tell shot the apple off of his son's head, and of course Austria ran controlled what is known as Switzerland today, the Swiss Confederation. Or an everlasting league was set up today of the various cantons, which in the languages they speak French, German, French and German. I think Elwin, Italian, excuse me. In 1619, the first black Americans landed at Jamestown. Now, I don't know if this is just political fiction or what, but the Obama's people claiming that his political handlers claiming that he descends from one of the first, from the first black slave landed in America. Well, we'll see. Well, there's a lot of things his handlers say. The discoverer of oxygen in 1774, Joseph Priestley, born. That happened on that date. 1790, the United States conducted its first census. There were 3,939,214 people. American Indians were not considered a citizen, so they weren't counted. Another episode out of that early history of America, the Whiskey Rebellion. And that was the last time that George Washington went into a field to put down farmers of what was called the West, Pennsylvania at that time, resented the tax on whiskey and on corn. And there was an insurrection, and George Washington had to go into the field, assume the role of general, and put down this insurrection. In 1798, one of Napoleon's battles, the Battle of the Nine, of the Nile River, in which Admiral Horatio Nelson again demonstrated his brilliant strategical outlook, and how his naval force under his command defeated the French Navy. That was the first of two major defeats. The other one was the Battle of Trafalgar, which ended Spanish and French supremacy, or threat to British supremacy on the sea. And Nelson was killed at that battle. In 1834, slavery was abolished in the British Isles. And in 1838, any blacks were emancipated slaves in the Bahamas. That's where they used to ship people. Remember Captain Blood? That was one of the places they transported criminals, convicts, and people, guys captured in war. In 1861, Brazil, recognized, was the first nation to recognize the Confederacy. After the Civil War, Southerners who refused to accept the fact they had been defeated, they emigrated legally to Brazil, and some of their descendants are down there today. And they also, I think, started the wine business, or they went into the wine business, growing grapes for wine. I've had some of their wine. It's not that great. In 1867, the first blacks voted in a statewide election in Tennessee. And if you ever come to San Francisco in 1873, the cable cars, halfway to the stars, as Tony Martin used to say, or DiBenedetto, he anglicized his name, the first cable car service started here in San Francisco. In 1876, Colorado became the 38th state. Of course, they've got their problems now with that Aurora mess. And in 1881, back to San Francisco, the first quarantine station was set up as an immigration, check it would be immigrants coming from Asia, especially Chinese. That was set up on Angel Island, and it's now a museum. In 1896, I never heard of this guy before, George Samuelson rowed across the Atlantic from New York to England. It must have been one hell of a trip. And now here's where the first sales tax started. In 1901, the sales tax to assist San Francisco City schools. And that, of course, now the sales tax is being used for a lot of other things, and it's questionable. And in 1903, there was the first coast-to-coast auto trip from San Francisco to New York. And then in 1907, the Bank of Italy was set up by Giannini, that later became the Bank of America, which has now been merged into, I think, a bank in North Carolina. 1914, Germany declared war on Russia. And that was the big upheaval, the fall of the monarchies, Germany, the Kaiser, the Tsar, and in Russia, quite an upheaval. And then 1917, the Wobblies, the International Workers of the world were organizing in Colorado. I know in Montana, organizing the mine workers, and Frank Gillette was ambushed and lynched. 1933, the National Recovery Act was established by the Franklin Delano Roosevelt administration. We may need something like that again today. And then in 1936, Adolf Hitler opened the Olympic Games, and of course, the Americans did not dip their flag. Everybody else did, and Hitler was furious that Jesse Owens had won in track and shown up that these Aryans weren't the mighty athletes that the supermen that Hitler would have the people believe at that time. It was propaganda. Excuse me, forget about this. 1953, sales tax was instituted to support the schools. 1958, I remember this as a child. The first class postage went up to 4 cents at Mookford. 26 years before that, it was 3 cents. Now it's we have forever stamps, and it's what, 52 cents, something like that. In 1960, Chubby Checkers invented the twist, and that caught on. It's interesting today, they talk about obesity. We don't have pop music that's composed today that people can dance to. In every decade in American history, there was music that people danced to and sweat and burned off some of that lard, whether it was the Charleston, the Jitterbug, the Ragtime, the Twist, the rock and roll music. Can you dance to some of this stuff you hear on the radio today? I doubt it. And not everybody is, what do they call it, akimbo. In 1966, one of the horrible mass murders by a sniper, Charles Whitman, went up in the tower at the University of Texas in Austin, and he blew away about 14 people. One of the worst mass murders involving guns in American history. Or 12 people were shot dead, and several were wounded. In 1972, Watergate was published. The articles were published by Bernstein and Woodward. And, of course, again, the deep throat was a U.S. Marine colonel named Captain Colonel Petey, who was in charge of White House security, because the Marines handled the security for the White House. It's not the FBI. The FBI guy mentioned by Bernstein and Woodward was a conduit. That's what my people tell me, people who were involved in the government at that time and the intelligence services. And today is Confederation Day in Switzerland. And what's our last thing we're going to do today? Oh, we have the interview, part two, of Eric Hoffer. And here we go, part two.
Ladies and gentlemen, from WGN's auditorium studio, we switch you to the scene of our new building ceremony.
Oh, no.
Go ahead, Lee Bennett at Illinois and St. Clair Street.
No, that's wrong. We had Hoffer. What happened here? I went through a lot of trouble to go through this, and a mistake again. I thought we had this Eric Hoffer. Let me see if we got it. If we have it here, we're going to try. Oh, can't do it right now. Screwed up. We're going to have this Friday again. I don't know what happened. I thought it was here. But today also, or yesterday, the great journalist, writer, playwright, screenwriter, political philosopher, cantankerous, literary figure, one of the last great literary figures, died. And one of the films that he wrote for, the screenplay, was about Captain Dreyfus. And Gore Vidal apparently was bisexual. His lover, Howard Austin, died several years earlier. And I guess Gore Vidal spent half his time in Italy and the other half in Southern California, where he died a day or two ago. But I remember I was covering the 1968 Democratic Convention, shooting a film, Guns and Gas versus Chance and Flowers. a 16-millimeter effort. One night I decided to stay home and watch the debate between, or the commentary with Howard K. Smith between Bill Buckley, who was wearing what looked like he was wearing a seersucker suit, and Gore Vidal. And Bill Buckley got angry, said something, or Gore Vidal started by calling Bill Buckley a crypto-fascist, and before Howard K. Smith could intervene and before the they could cut off any other statements, Bill Buckley referred to Gore Vidal as an F-faggot. And that got caught on media, and Howard K. Smith turned beet red, as I recall. And, of course, these were the two polar opposites of America's den of literary lions, I'll put it that way. But I do remember that episode. Anyway, we've had people like that, and, of course, Eric Hoffer, whose books and whose interviews are very relevant today because he said things back there in the 60s and 70s, and he died, I think, in the early 80s, that are very relevant to what's going on today with Occupy, these pseudo-political philosophers, these pretentious types who pontificate. And as he used to say, these are the type of people who never got dirt under their fingernails. But something goofed up on our audio. And so we'll replay this Friday, and I'll try to get this straightened out. I don't know what happened, but I thought we had it. Anyway, I think I'll play since we're doing and just one of the things that Gore Vidal is best known for, besides the awful Myra Breckinridge and Caligria, which he disassociated himself for, was one of the best plays and movies about presidential candidates, and maybe we should just play a clip from The Best Man. There's a lot to be said in these films and the script, because we have politicians who are promoting the gay, lesbian lifestyle, and they claim to be straight, but are in the closet, and I will predict this, we're going to see more women who've been claiming they're straight, even claiming that they're married, are in fact lesbians. In fact, the former governor of Hawaii, Linda Lingle, was accused of being a lesbian several times, and we don't know if that's true. We have others who are in very high prominent positions, federal and state, who are believed to be closet lesbians. So that's going to come out. But it's interesting because we have a situation here in California where a British lesbian, very aggressive and bullying, her name is Bradstreet, and she was appointed a judge by Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of his worst appointments when he was governor. Anyway, she tried to get the entire legal establishment, community, the judges, clerks, in the state of California to defund, not to fund United Way, because the Boy Scouts, United Way gave money to the Boy Scouts, and the Boy Scouts have openly banned gays and even lesbians. I understand there's women and who are den mothers who might be lesbian, because the Boy Scouts have had a horrible experience of being sued when there was an assault on a boy or a rape or whatever. Anyway, there is now a move by these same radicals. It's not enough to go after Chick Phil. It's interesting. We have Rahm Emanuel, who is Jewish heritage. I don't know if he practices. Mayor of Chicago, who has apparently forgotten the history of the Nazis during the 30s, where they banned, boycotted Jewish stores because the Jewish German Jews did not represent, quote, Aryan values. I mean, it's a replay of what we're hearing from these politicians, including the mayor of San Francisco, Ed Lee, who's Chinese, who should know better. because you shouldn't be mixing politics with this kind of political propaganda and posturing. But anyway, these people have apparently forgotten the history of the Nazis in Germany and what they tried to do. And even in the other countries, Jewish stores were boycotted in other countries that the Nazis had influence in Austria, Holland, France. And in fact, they did worse things in those other countries. They did worse things to Jews and other, quote, Untermenschen. But Gorbidell did write about these things. And The Best Man, I think, is one of the best Broadway plays. It's been it's back on Broadway starring a black. I think James Earl Jones is in it. Great actor. But here's a clip from The Best Man. And let's see, I'm going to bring it up in just a minute. Either that or we're going to have Jesse Owens playing. Where is The Best Man? This is interesting. Power is not a tool. And I think this is one of the lines that Gorbidell wrote in his Best Man, and I think these current crop of politicians, they're not statesmen, but they need to pay more attention to this, that these are it's very apropos to today on how you have to be judicious and when you come into office. This is that clip from Smith.
Now, I am here to tell you this, that power is not a toy that we give to good children. It's a weapon. And the strong man takes it, and he uses it. And if you don't go down there and beat Joe Cantwell to the floor with this very dirty stick, then you've got no business in this big league. Because if you don't fight, this job is not for you. And it never will be.
And that's applicable even today. People have to know how to use power, and if necessary, beat somebody down who's trying to destroy the country. And that's going on right now. So we're going to end. We'll be back Friday, and then we're going to get that Eric Hoffer interview. We've got so many here, and we're going through over 1,600 tapes, and that's not counting the videos that I've done. So we're going to end with our usual theme, politics and poker, and we're still trying to persuade some of these politicians to play poker, but not in a smoke-filled room, especially one where they're smoking pot.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
You guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Fine.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, what do you say?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Poker, which is more important?
Paratrade.
Battle.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Say, I'm in.
gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
Well, some of the other politicians will be in jail who are running for public office. And so we'll be back Friday, and we'll talk about Ted Cruz, the winner of the Tea Party nomination primary in Texas to run for U.S. Senator from the state of Texas. Interesting guy. This is Peter Paul Brazzola. We'll be back Friday at 4 o'clock, and we'll have that Eric Hoffer interview and also a clip of Marilyn Monroe's debut in the films, and in an interesting film, which has as its subject capitalism, environmentalism. Quite interesting. Surprise. Anyway, Peter Paul, good night. And go to our Micus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night.